Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. The gavel had barely fallen, sealing Russell Lafitte's fate when everything unraveled faster than a juror's nerves in a high-stakes deliberation. It's not every day that a conviction born from one of the most scandal-ridden sagas in recent history is tossed aside on appeal. But then again, nothing about the tale of Russell Lafitte, the one-time golden boy of Palmetto State Bank, has been ordinary. Imagine this: a federal appeals court, three judges, and a bombshell ruling that sent ripples of shock through Hampton County and beyond. The ruling? A series of constitutional missteps that no high-profile trial should ever encounter, leading to the unraveling of a conviction that was supposed to be airtight. It all boiled down to juror number 88, a person whose anxiety didn't just fill the deliberation room, but spilled out into the courtroom, becoming the center of a pivotal legal debate. As the court deliberated deep into the night, nearly 8 hours in, anxiety gripped one juror like a vice. This wasn't your standard late-night exhaustion. This was the type of anxiety that brings cold sweats, heart-pounding moments, and a feeling of being overwhelmed by judgment from others. The juror wrote a note, a desperate plea of sorts, but when Judge Richard Gergel read it, what followed was anything but standard courtroom procedure. The judge's questioning of the juror happened behind closed doors, literally, without Russell Lafitte or his legal team present. There were no attorneys to scrutinize the exchange, no defendant to watch as the proceedings unfolded. Juror number 88 spoke about medication, about feeling uneasy as tensions boiled over among the other jurors. Yet despite her efforts to assure Judge Gergel that she could manage, her anxiety was treated not with care or caution, but with removal. In the blink of an eye, she and another juror were replaced by alternates. The fallout? A swift, guilty verdict less than an hour after the replacements took their seats. For Lafitte, the banker accused of helping Alec Murdaugh siphon millions, the speed and circumstances of the verdict raised more than eyebrows. It raised constitutional questions that echoed all the way to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. The panel of judges didn't mince words. The removal of juror number 88 violated Russell Lafitte's rights, and the trial, tainted by these missteps, was effectively nullified. Prosecutors, however, weren't ready to fold. We respect the court's decision and stand ready to prove Lafitte's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt a second time, declared U.S. Attorney Adair Ford Burroughs. Their confidence in their case was palpable, yet the errors weren't theirs to own. Instead, it was Judge Gergel's decisions that set this retrial into motion, not anything lacking in the case itself. And so, here we are retracing the steps that led us to this moment. Russell Lafitte, son of a banking dynasty, had been the man once honored as the Banker of the Year. His family's legacy, deeply woven into the fabric of tiny Hampton County, was supposed to be a testament to integrity, to trust. But trust is a fickle thing. And for many of the victims in this financial quagmire, it had been shattered. Palmetto State Bank wasn't just a small-town institution. It was a pillar of the community, a symbol of safety in a world fraught with financial peril. So when Lafitte was appointed to safeguard the settlement money for Alec Murdaugh's clients, vulnerable children, and grieving families, it seemed like a natural fit. Yet, it was precisely this role this trust that made the betrayal so devastating. Allegedly, Russell Lafitte didn't just let Murdaugh siphon money. He enabled him, often through complex maneuvers involving settlement accounts, untaxable fees, large checks that covered mounting debts. These weren't mistakes, prosecutors said. They were deliberate acts, ways for both men to stay afloat, even as the debts loomed larger. Yet Russell Lafitte maintained he was duped, that Murdaugh's cunning was too great, and that he never intended to be part of a crime. For victims, the appeals ruling brings a fresh wave of uncertainty. After all, this isn't just about one banker and his mistakes. It's about families who lost everything, about a community reeling from betrayal after betrayal, and about the legacy of a man who now finds himself with a second chance at defending his innocence. What drove Russell Lafitte to risk everything, to make choices that, whether misguided or malicious, led to this legal labyrinth? Was it loyalty to a friend? Something darker? Perhaps an ingrained belief that his family's name could shield him from the consequences? And how did Alec Murdaugh, a man mired in more infamy than even the grittiest true crime saga could invent, managed to pull so many into his gravitational pull of corruption? Stay tuned as the twists of this saga continue to unfold, because in the world of high-stakes finance and deep-seated family legacies, nothing is ever quite what it seems. It's a complex web, one that leaves more questions than answers and forces us to consider the fragility of our justice system, especially in cases tangled with power, wealth, and small-town legacies. There's something uniquely unsettling about how the rights of the accused can be so profoundly mishandled, particularly when the stakes are this high. The case sits on the fault line between systemic flaws and human error. One might think that in a trial as publicized and consequential as this, every move would be meticulously measured. Yet here we are with constitutional violations that now open the door for a retrial and perhaps a completely different outcome. It's a sobering reminder that even the best-laid prosecutions can be unraveled by procedural missteps, turning what seemed like a clear-cut case into a minefield of legal uncertainties. Oh, what does it mean for our system if a juror's well-being can be so easily dismissed, replaced without full consideration of their statements? If the anxiety that plagued juror number 88 came from the stress of holding a minority view, doesn't that suggest a deeper unspoken dynamic in the jury room? One that should have been addressed differently? The psychological angle is impossible to ignore. Lafitte, accused but also feeling duped, now stands in a complex light. Was he a willing participant, feeding off Murdaugh's lies for personal gain, or was he simply another victim swept into a con man's orbit, too blind or too loyal to see the scam unraveling around him? As we ponder the impact of this retrial, one must consider the ripple effect. The victims of these financial crimes, already having endured the nightmare of fraud, must brace for yet another round of courtroom drama. The retrial brings hope to Lafitte's camp, but uncertainty to those who had thought justice was served. And what of Alec Murdaugh? His shadow looms large over all these proceedings, a constant reminder of the cunning and chaos that brought so many people to this point. Will Russell Lafitte's retrial reveal new truths about this tangled saga, or are we just seeing the start of a long, twisted legal marathon? We'll keep digging and getting you the facts. Thanks for listening, and be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.